This is Unmasked, the Stigma of Meth. I'm Nick Ciano. On today's episode, we'll be sitting down with Elizabeth Wyman. She was one of the student journalists who went into the Delaware County Correctional Facility and was able to talk with a number of inmates who are in on charges related to meth. Some of them are users, some of them were cookers, but no matter what, they all have a lot to say about the impact meth has had on Muncie. So we've been talking a lot about the cooker and the user being not only one and the same, but having very defining characteristics, transient individuals, white, typically from a lower class. Did you see any of that in the inmates?
Yeah, a lot of them I talked to, well, everyone we talked to was white. There were two women, five male, and a lot of them, some of them were still in the process of, they haven't been tried yet. They've just been, you know, formally charged in jail. But so they were a little careful on what they were going to say, depending on what they were charged with. And some said a little more than I would have expected.
Did you cook or you just?
I'm not gonna say any of that. You know what I mean? On there, I've been charged with possession. You know, so that's as far as I'll go on that. Okay. So,
a lot of them just used, but then a lot of them did cook too to support their own habit. You know, you're not in the industry of making methamphetamine to make a profit. That's what we've learned. It's to feed your own habit. If you can make a little money along the way, so be it. But it's, you want to make the best stuff and you want to do it for yourself pretty much. So, you know, we learned that, yeah, they do cook and use, but if they are cooking, it's to feed their own habit.
Were you ever a cooker?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you obviously know then what goes into meth. You know, the lighter fluid, the battery acid, the acetone, all that. Knowing that goes in there, why do you consistently put that in your body?
I don't have a good explanation for it. Addiction.
My biggest thing was mixing meth and heroin together, so that was my drug of choice. But
what made it different when they were together?
It's just you got the downer with the upper. You know, I mean, it's, you know, I enjoyed it that way better. So
you brought up that you were shocked at what they said, especially the ones that haven't been to trial yet. What kind of things did they say? What was the most shocking admittance to you?
You know, one thing I noticed from all of them was that, you know, they were kind of in the position of they don't know what comes next, you know, whether they have yet to be tried or sentenced or whatever. You know, they're sitting in jail and don't really know what comes next. You know, they're not 2.5 years sober like some of the other people we've talked to and, you know, have a goal in mind and, you know, they know what works for them and what doesn't work for them. But a lot of these inmates were, they're stuck. They don't really know what's going on. And, you know, they have an idea of what they would like to happen, but, you know, they're in jail and anything can happen. And, you know, so I was shocked by some of the things that they were saying and actually shocked by some of the things they were admitting. You know, and sometimes it does take what we've learned. It does take inmates or it takes addicts to really hit rock bottom to realize, well, yeah, I do have a problem. I'm sitting in jail now and, you know, I can't use, I can't be with my family, I can't work. I do have a problem. And so, you know, some of them admitted and, you know, I that was refreshing to hear, you know, that at least there is hope. You know, they will admit it at some point. But, you know, we did talk to a man who didn't think meth was a problem. And so there was a little bit of a larger spectrum of answers I received.
Talk a little bit about your addiction and your struggle with addiction. What's worked in the past, if anything has, and what hasn't worked?
Well, I tell you what, I know that being, I don't know, what you might say, forced into doing something has never worked for me. You know what I mean? I don't understand that problem with myself. But I guess it's just something I just really don't particularly want to think I should have to give up. You know, I've gave up a lot of things in my life, and it's just one of them things I do personally for myself that I probably won't never quit. I mean, my family, you know, my personal close family doesn't expect me to quit. They see that the effects of it long term, you know, nobody's seen, you know, as far as the physical aspect of it. But as far as the way that I represent and present myself and carry myself when I'm doing the drugs doesn't affect my family life as far as me being in here. This is the only effect that my family has. But other than that I don't go out robbing people. I don't, I don't just go out and rob, I'll steal from stores all day long. But as far as it coming down to individual people and houses, I don't rob houses. I don't do none of that for my habit.
Tell me a little about your experience in Drug Corps.
I mean, Drug Corps is a great program if you use it. I know it kept me clean for about 14 months. When I was actually doing good on the program, then I fell off the bandwagon, I guess, and messed up the past couple months. But, I mean, it kept me clean for about 14 months straight. So, as long as you use the tools they give you, it'll help you out. It's just addiction's a lifelong thing. It's not something that just disappears because you've been clean for a year,
What do you think the overall consensus in the correctional facility towards drug court was?
A lot of these people in jail had been on drug court, and some of them were in jail for drug court violations, and so they were very willing to admit that, drug court's a good thing if you can use it properly. Now, the success rates, still don't remember what they are at the top of my head.
Just for reference, that success rate comes out to about 28% to 30%, according to Judge John Fike, who is in charge of the drug court here in Delaware County.
They are not very great. They don't look very, very good or very successful, from an outside person. But, a lot of these people, they were just thankful to at least have been given the opportunity to do drug court instead of going to prison. And, drug court, you get a couple chances to mess up. And so a lot of people in there were for drug court violations and, had messed up. But, it was maybe their first or second time. And I think you get three mess ups pretty much in drug court before you are sent to prison. And, they still had hope. And so, they messed up, but they had hope in the process and had, still had a little bit of belief in themselves that drug court could work for them someday. And, drug court's a long process. It's very time consuming. If you have a job, you need to make sure your job can work around the times that you have to be at drug court. You have to be in court. You have to be at your drug test centers. You have to make sure you go to all that. And so it's more about a discipline thing. And, sometimes from what I've learned, addicts, their problem is discipline and disciplining themselves and not using. And so I can see how drug court can be a problem if they already have that, bad habit and be disciplined in life in general. So I can see how it's tough, but a lot of them, I would say the consensus for a lot of the inmates was that drug court is a good program if you use it to your advantage.
I'm 42. I'm in here for possession. And I drive while suspended habitual. Lived in Muncie most of my life. Been using drugs since the age of about 14.
I started using meth when I was probably 13 or 14. Used it probably close to 6 months. And then the supply ran out because back then it wasn't rampant like it is now. Did some other drugs and meth popped back on the scene probably, 5 years ago here in Muncie. And got hooked back into that. I smoked crack after, from 13. I did it for maybe 6 months, and then it was gone. So my next drug was crack. I used crack until meth came back, then I switched it out. Meth is a bad thing.
After all of this is said and done, and you've been able to look back on these interviews, why meth?
Well, when I talked to them, I asked their drug use history and when they kind of got into drugs, and every single one of them said 13 and 14 years old, which is just mind-blowing to me. But you didn't start out with meth, you didn't start out with coke, you didn't start out with LSD. You started out with the typical drugs that you see people start out with, which I would say yes are gateway drugs such as marijuana and even alcohol, and they all started out that way, and it progressed, and it got to a point in time where they were feeding other habits, whether it was with coke or LSD, I heard. But, those became expensive. A lot of people used pain pills, and there was a big pain pill problem in Muncie years ago. A doctor was giving out pain pills too freely, I guess. And, when they couldn't find pain pills, they had to turn to something because they were already addicted. And so a lot of them turned to meth. It was easy. It was easy to access. It was easy to make. I asked them when legislative bills had been passed in the past if it really made it more difficult to get the pseudoephedrine that, you know, you need to use to make meth. They said not at all. It wasn't, you know, maybe they had to jump through a few more hoops, but it was definitely attainable. And that definitely did not stop them from getting their drug. And that's just the kind of thing with addicts. You know, you can change, you can change the process of how they get it. But, you know, when you're an addict, you're going to get it no matter what.
What other relationships did you see commonly brought up among the inmates? Were there mostly family stories, or what else did you see?
Yeah, well, most of the people I talked to all brought up the relationship aspect in general. You know, that meth has ruined their relationships. They become a different person, an altered state of mind, a person they've never, you know, thought that they would become, and it changes their personality. It changes everything about them to the point where other people don't want to be around them, but also they don't want to be around other people. They know, you know, this is bad for their body. They know what this drug does to their body, but they can't stop, and they know it changes themselves, and they don't like themselves even, and other people don't like them either. And they, one thing I heard was they isolate themselves constantly. They don't want to leave the house. They, you know, that's a big problem why a lot of them have lost their jobs. They can't function. You just cannot function like a normal human being on methamphetamine. And it changes their personality to the point where everyone around them doesn't want to be around that either. But a lot of people I did talk to and that were in jail had families. They had kids. They had significant others. And clearly being in jail is going to take a toll on all of that. But, you know, a lot of the motivation for them to get clean was for their family or was for their kids.
So you really haven't seen any negative effects on your addiction?
Yeah, being in here when I should be out with being with my family, that's about the only thing. I mean, other than, you know, that. I mean, I've lost, like my mom. She's pretty much cut me off because of the whole meth raid. But other than that, you know, and that's just people's personal opinions. I mean, don't change it. I mean, some people do change. It didn't change me as who I am. You know what I mean? It don't take no full control. You know, when the party's over, the party's over. And I don't go chasing. But other than that, this is about the biggest thing is being in jail.
Family, I got two kids. I'm divorced. You know, I'm very close with my children.
How old are they?
I got a 4-year-old little girl and a 10-year-old boy. Now, I mean, I'm not going to say it hasn't made my life, you know, my relationship struggle with them because I've been locked up a lot. But, you know, when I'm out on the streets, I try to do what I can with them, you know. You know, I pay my child support and all that. But drugs-wise, it's ruined, you know, it's ruined my marriage. It's, you know, it's obviously it's ruined my relationship with my kids because I'm not with them every single day.
It's affected every aspect of my life.
How long have you been married?
I'm divorced now.
Okay. And you have a kid?
Yes, ma'am.
How old?
Three.
Do you get to see him?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm sure being in jail has caused a problem with seeing him?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. How does that make you feel?
Horrible. I miss my boy.
They know it's bad. They know it's hurting them. What did they have to say on treatment? Outside of drug court, what about rehabilitation and other programs that might be provided for them?
Yeah, well, I think that draws into a big topic of Muncie doesn't have a rehab center. And a lot of them had said, you know, if that were the case, then they could stay in Muncie and get help. Their family could be around them to watch them and help them get help. Their family could also learn the tools on what they can do to help, you know, their loved one who is an addict provide for them and know kind of, you know, how to take care of this addict after they are done with rehab. But that's not the case. You know, a lot of people in Muncie get sent elsewhere to East Chicago or Indianapolis to get treatment if they have the money. You know, that's another problem in Muncie. A lot of addicts, as you know, we've been able to find out, blow all their money on drugs, and they don't have they don't have money or they don't have health care to help them get to a good rehab facility.
What would you tell someone that was trying or was going to try meth or was going to get involved with that? What would you tell someone like that?
I mean, I'd tell them to stay away if they've never tried it before, you know what I mean? But, I mean, yes, I just tell them that pretty much everything you have or own and all that's going to disappear, You know what I mean? That's what's going to end up happening.
Just whoever's out there using it, don't think about what it did to your life and how it's going to impact the next person's life if you give it to them or you let them have it for the first time. That's pretty much your fault for giving it to them.
To the people who have been caught with possession or charged with cooking, why do they see it as a problem?
Muncie or Delaware County is doing a lot about this problem. You know, this problem is everywhere, but, you know, Delaware County does seem to have a good team on trying to curb this problem, or at least exposing the problem, maybe more than some other Indiana counties are doing. So, you know, it's almost not why Muncie, it's why aren't other counties in the same boat we are on trying to curb the problem and at least expose it to the community.
That's it for this episode. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email us at unmaskedbsu@gmail.com. I'm Nick Ciano. Thanks for listening.